This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
As-salamu alayka zaynal anbiya'i, as-salamu alayka.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa afdal as-salati wa tammu tasneem ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadan wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam ajma'in. Subhanaka la ilmanana illa ma'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakeem wa la hawla wa la quwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azeem. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled us to hear his remembrance and to hear the blessed praise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something that brings the heart to life. And what a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 1400 plus years after the time of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his sunnah, his way, his well-established way is still here among us. And it is readily accessible for any one of us who wants to learn it and to put it into practice, and then to experience its fruits. And when you experience its fruits, and you feel the sweetness of faith that arises in the heart after putting the blessed way of our Prophet ﷺ into practice, then, and only then, do we truly start and have the first taste of what it really means to experience the blessing of Islam. What a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's something about this deen when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes all of the veils of the heart and all of the clutter, the dust, those things that are veiling the heart and preventing it from seeing and accepting the truth. It actually is incredibly simple. And it actually is very easy. Because when someone is shown by his Lord or her Lord the reality of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, belief in one God, and belief in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the final prophet and messenger sent to humankind, you start to understand what it means that this is a manifestation of the name of Allah al-Haq, the truth, because Islam is truth. And this is why it could happen instantaneously in the heart of anybody, where all of a sudden it just becomes clear to them that this is truth. And there's something about this blessed deen in learning the way of the Prophet ﷺ that when you put a little bit of effort in, this is the result. The, what you could call the sultan of the haq, right? This authority, this overwhelming authority of the truth becomes so apparent that then faith takes root in the heart as a result. And then the more that you learn, the deeper that you go, the deeper that the roots of that seed of faith that was planted go. And the further those roots of faith are in your heart, the more then that someone is able to withstand. The more then that it is that they are able to bear. And if someone embraces this deen and does their best to keep watering that seed that is a divine gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing what it is that they can, placing a little bit of effort in this matter, that surely that those roots will continue to grow, and that then ultimately a blessed tree will form within the heart of that individual, and that ultimately that tree will have a strong trunk and then strong branches and then smaller branches and then even smaller branches and then leaves and then fruits that appear on it. And this is what you and I want, is that we want to experience the reality of faith, and the reality of faith as it rises in the heart with its sweetness that it is accompanied with. And all of the different individual manifestations of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or our means for us to further our iman, our faith, our means for us to further experience those blessed fruits. Every single one is a door. As Hujjat al-Islam Imam al-Ghazali says, every righteous trait of character is a door between you and your Lord. The more character traits that you have, the more that you'll experience the sweetness of faith. And so if you think of it like that, let alone, of course, all of the different forms of worship, all of the different things that we do, but in particular, the traits of virtue, the character traits that you and I can struggle with ourselves to adopt. Every single one of them is a door whereby we draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where our relationship with our Lord strengthens subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we think of it in that way, then it allows us to roll up our sleeves to be able to learn about these blessed character traits, to learn about these blessed virtues, which are not easy. And the word for character trait is actually very closely related to the word for creation in general, but in specific, the creation of the human being. So you have khalq, which is your physical creation. And you have your khuluq, which is your character. And there are those that have said that your character can't be changed. But this opinion can't be correct, because as Imam Ghazali points out, he says you could have a wild horse that is tamed. You could have a wild falcon that is eventually tamed. You can do amazing things with the animal kingdom. Previously, they weren't able to do that. Through training, they're able to do amazing things. He says, if this can happen in the animal kingdom, how then can this not happen within among human beings? He says this is something that is possible, but that linguistic relationship points to its difficulty, because there are certain things about human beings that are might be easy to change, but then there's other things that are harder to change, and then there's things that are really hard to change. And then there might be other things about yourself that relate to your temperament and so forth that are extremely difficult to change, and maybe you can't change. And those things that get on the verge of being extremely difficult to change, the blessing in the whole matter is the closer you are to the mercy of Allah Ta'ala in relation to those things, the closer you are to His pardoning you and forgiving you for those things when they manifest, even though you're trying to work on yourself. And so the next great character trait that we wanted to speak about was the great character trait of mudara in Arabic, which you can translate in English as tact. And we'll explain shortly what that is. But it comes in the context of actually avoiding its opposite, because it is from spiritual chivalry to do what is called tarkul mudahana, avoid flattery, fi kullil ahwal, at all times. Flattery is not something that is praiseworthy. And the word mudahan in Arabic relates to duhan, which is like butter, or that some type of paste that you put on top of something. So you're like buttering people up. And mudahana, in its technical definition, means is that you are willing to even compromise your religion in order for some type of worldly benefit. And there's people that are like this. And you see people oftentimes that are on their best behavior when they're around certain people. And it's really sad, especially when you attend conferences and forget people that are beyond the pale of Islam, from within the ranks of Islam. And you see people treating people according to how many likes that they have on Facebook. And I was actually shocked to know that this is one of the criterion for even inviting people to these things, is how many likes do they have on Facebook? How many, all these types of very ridiculous things. As if that is some type of proof of that person's teachings. And this is fluff. The true people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of them, if you saw them, you wouldn't even know that they were true people of Allah, because they're so unassuming. What we need, and only the way that Islam is going to take root in this country, is on the day-to-day. You and I are doing the things that no one wants to do. Waking up, praying our prayers on time, working on ourselves, that weeping in the wee hours of the night, doing the things when no one is there to see, being sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, finding intimacy and solitude, doing the things that no one wants to do. This is the way Islam is going to be established in this country, or in any place, in any time. And it's the efforts of those who came before us, most of whom we don't know, that are enabling you and I to experience this very moment as we speak. So flattery is not something that we want. And yes, there's certain times it is okay to mention good things about people and to even praise them. However, that has to be done in a measured way. And it has to be done responsibly. But just to overly flatter people. And this is something that you see when you enter into some of these circles, whether within the ranks of the Muslims or beyond. And oftentimes you see this, there's a lot of people scratching each other's backs. And everyone is just flattering one another in their various networks. And it feels very good for the ego. The ego likes to hear people clap for it. The ego likes to hear people praise it and to that point it out and for it to feel some type of distinction. But this will blind you spiritually. So what we want to do, though, is to be people of mudara. And there's a difference between flattery and tact. And the fundamental difference is that you're now willing to sacrifice some worldly things for the sake of the religion. And that's how they point to the difference. And what tact really is, and there's a hadith that Ibn Abi Dunya mentions in one of his collections that states, رَأْسِ الْعَقْلِ بَعْدِ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ مُدَارَةِ النَّاسِ. The apex of intellect after belief in Allah is showing tact with people. And so the greatest thing that your intellect can point to is belief in Allah. The intellect gets you to the door. Only no human being can possibly say that this world originated from nothing unless that they are a kafir, according to the meaning of the word, i.e. they're covering up the truth. We are biologically wired to believe that it is impossible for there to be effect without a cause. At one level, it is that simple. And this is the greatest thing that the intellect can teach you and point you to, is belief in Allah. But after that, according to this hadith, it's mudarat an-nas. Now, every single one of us is going to interact with people in our lives. And oftentimes it is other people. It is the opinions of other people. It is living up to the expectations of other people that derail us from the spiritual path. And this is why it's so important to learn this trait. Because when you believe in Allah and you're trying to live the right way, there's going to be challenges. You might have people around you or close to you, are people that you're forced to interact with that aren't necessarily helping you in the spiritual path. How do you deal with those people? This is of the utmost importance. And this is why what tact really is, it is that understanding when it comes to people that they have a particular nature and there's relative degrees to which that you can actually change people's nature and their behavior and the things that it is that they do. And so as a result is that you deal with them softly and gently and you have realistic expectations with the people that you're interacting with. And so as it says here, وَلَا يَطْمَعْ فِي تَغْيِرِ شَيْءٍ مِّن جِبِلَّةِ النَّاسِ, is that you don't have even a desire to change those things about people that are extremely difficult or impossible to change. Except that which can be changed with education and speaking to people gently. And this is the way of our teachers. This is how they are. They're very gentle. And going along with that is this other amazing trait of what is called taghafal. The Arabic language is amazing. And some you have to quote the Arabic because it's very hard to pin down one word as a translation for this. Taghafal is to act like you're in a state of ghafla, which is heedlessness, like you're unaware of something. And it's actually part of faith, is that there's certain things, you know they're happening, but you act like you don't know they're happening. You let it go. You know what to address and you know what to leave. You know what to let pass and you know what to make a point of. And if you, with any person, try to make a point of everything that you see about the khalas, you're going to create conflict. You're going to push people away. You have unrealistic expectations. And so this amazing trait of tact takes many forms. But they used to say, ittasa'ad dar man yudari.
وَضَاقَ الدَّارَ مَنْ يُمَارِي, is that someone who deals with people tactfully, is that their home, literally their home, will feel expansive, the place they are with people. But someone who does not act with this trait is that they'll feel suffocated in their home. If they're people that just constantly argue and they're in a state of conflict with those that are around them. And so this is trait is of the utmost importance. And there's a lot that can be said of it, and there's many manifestations of it. But it's something that you and I need to read about and to learn and to know how it is to deal with people, have realistic expectations of them. And one of the great fruits of this trait is the ability to diffuse a situation. And a practical example to help us understand a manifestation of this trait is the following. There was one time there was someone who was going to the airport, and this particular person liked to be at the airport really early. So they wanted to be at the airport like 3 hours before the flight. And there was someone else that they were supposed to be giving a ride to the airport. And they said to this person, be ready at this particular time. And this person was really that set on being there 3 hours. So they go to pick up this other person. The other person's not there. They're calling the other person. They can't find the person. They don't know where. And now this person's distraught because he wanted to be at the airport 3 hours ahead of time. And he's getting upset. He's getting unsettled. And so finally they just leave her. And then they start heading to the airport. And then she finally calls. And at that point, they're not turning around. So they made her get like another car and to like meet them somewhere. And so then that now that they are on the way to the airport and they meet at this particular location, but now this person's made them late when he wanted to be at the airport at a certain time. So you can just imagine what's going to happen when that person's about to get in the car. There's going to be an eruption. So tact is there was someone in the car that saw that there was about to be an eruption. And so what that person did was as soon as that other person got in the car, is that he said to her before the other man could get angry, because he was angry. He says, oh, please forgive us. Is that we should have let you know. We should have been in contact with you and let you know. He went out of his way to say that, oh, it's our fault that we didn't coordinate properly with you before that other person could say anything. Because then it would have been hard to have said anything. He was still upset, but it diffused the situation. And it was a means for everything just to deflate. And especially when people get angry, especially when they're responding with ego, we need to use tact. Tact, it's like a karama. It's almost like a breaking of the norm of how amazing it is to diffuse a situation. And that this is one of the core traits that needs to be there at the level of the family, at the level of at the workplace, at the level of that a community, and at the level of the ummah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The more that we embody this blessed trait, the more that you and I will rise up in the ranks. And one of the great examples of that in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Harun, Moses and Aaron, to speak to Pharaoh gently, Pharaoh, one of the worst people who ever lived on the face of this earth, that said that I am your Lord Most High. Allah commands Moses and Aaron to say, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. That's you too. Say to him a gentle word, perhaps, is that he'll be reminded and that he will have fear of Allah. So that we're not better than Moses, and the people that we're dealing with are not worse than Pharaoh. So this is a trait that you and I should strive to bring into our life, and that to learn all of its different facets, because it really is a very, very important trait, and it is definitely of the traits of spiritual chivalry, and it's one of the great traits of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that when that trait is implemented, there is healing and there is beauty, and that there is true growth and ascension and a means of drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and bless us in all of our different affairs and to adorn ourselves with the virtues of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala strengthen our faith in this deen and bless us with firm footing, and may we never waver, and may we live and die upon this truth, and every day that we strengthen iman in the very best day of all be the day that we take our last breath and meet our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala prepare us for that moment, and may these gatherings be provision for those moments, and may these gatherings be connected to the gatherings of our teachers, insha'Allah ta'ala. And what descends upon their gatherings, we ask Allah ta'ala for a great portion of all of that good to descend upon these gatherings and to benefit not only us, but those who are around us, those that are in these regions, those that live in these lands in which we live. And may the light of Islam shine and spread amongst our people. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.